The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
The mindset of the football team is important at all stages of the season. And as we continue to grow and build here, there has to be a mindset that we continue to develop as an organization that is important in order to sustain success one week after another.
Mike Danger,
where do you stand on respecting the process as we go into Patriots Week?
I think as a fan, you should be skeptical. I mean, if you're a fan who has anything invested in them, then you should have some level of skepticism. You shouldn't just have blind trust in somebody.
Gene Battaglia.
Tom Brady on Sunday can tie Drew Bledsoe to become the winningest quarterback at Ralph Wilson / New Era Field in the era of the drought, year 2000 up to 2017.
And the Bills, if they're going to have a chance to win even in Buffalo on Sunday, they're going to have to find ways to get creative with scoring.
Rochester sports leader, 95.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. ESPN Rochester, AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPNRochester.com, and the free-to-download ESPN Rochester app. As we get you ready for your sports weekend, no shortage of action. We've got Amherst hockey tonight at Blue Cross Arena. You can hear the action here on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. And we got some college football tonight, Pac-12 championship right after the Amherst game. Big 12 championship tomorrow afternoon. SEC, ACC championship all happening this weekend on the Sports Leader. And, of course, Buffalo, New England, with pregame starting at 9 o'clock on ESPN Rochester. What's on your mind, Gene Battaglia?
I'm just reading this email. This in regards to the Sports Bar show. The hosts are extremely hypocritical regarding their on-air comments about the Rhino situation. About a year ago, they spent at least 40 minutes of airtime berating their surroundings in the city.
What?
I read on. They talked about a woman defecating in their presence. I remember this story.
Defecating.
This is how he wrote it. Also, a man urinating on a tree.
Yeah.
They were vehement on how disgusting their local portion of the city was. Now, they go on and on about how wonderful downtown is, which is it, gentlemen. I've tried to call into the show to ask them about this, but I was not connected. I would like you to forward this on them, but I doubt that will happen. Hey, Henry. Maybe you might want to call up while you can call up anytime. But if you call up while we have a guest on the air, you might not get through. So I appreciate you writing in. But yeah, I don't see how these two stories are connected. You seeing one thing in the city. Again, we're just asking this. Tell us a story with actual data. If you want to give a narrative, fine, but give us some real facts in regards to where the Rhino Stadium is. Because where it is certainly has affected attendance, but again, its perception is reality. That being the point. Henry, can I make it any clearer? I'll make it clear, okay? Perception is reality. And if you perceive that the stadium is dangerous, then it will become dangerous.
I just wanted to know where their dignity is. I mean, what kind of dignity do you have if you're dropping trow and you know, letting go of a deuce in a tunnel in the city? That's all. I mean, Look, every city has problems with homeless people. Every city has problems with you know, panhandlers, and you can't police all of it. It's an issue. And, you know, why did I bring that up on the air? Well, because it wasn't pleasing to the eye. It's not an aesthetic. It's not something I want to see in my city. And while I might not want to see that in my city, I'm not going to use it as an excuse for I don't feel safe. I walk around downtown all the time. Now, sometimes I have my head on a swivel. I don't go looking for trouble, but I will keep my eyes open in case trouble is looking for me. But never once have I felt like my safety was threatened. Never once have I had I've never been pickpocketed. I've never been assaulted. Nothing violent has ever happened to me. And that's what I'm asking for out of Capelli Sports Stadium. If your hang-up is
It's not safe. If that's your hang-up, it's not safe. I can't listen to that. I want data. I want to know. You might not feel safe. If you don't feel safe, then that's not a Capelli Sports Stadium problem. That's a you problem. You don't feel safe because your eyes tell you, based on your surroundings, that you're not safe. But you're fine because statistically, nothing has ever happened. Nothing.
No.
Nothing that we can find.
No. Like that message that said, you know, about a SWAT team and, you know, rocks being thrown from the streets at a kickball game. And, oh, okay. Again, I keep waiting for stats that show that there's crime at a Rhinos game, but there's not. Anybody who's been to the Rhinos game knows there is a great police presence while you're down there. That's not the issue. What your eyes see, it isn't pleasing to you. And that's what's tricking your brain. And that's the objective. Again, this isn't this is no longer the Dworkin's problem. This is Mayor Warren's problem, okay? You are the mayor of the part of town that nobody wants to go to, apparently. This is your problem. We inherited this stadium. I love that press release. Okay. My goodness, what a good problem to have. You have a stadium. This is now yours. Do you not want a stadium? Because most cities will gladly take a stadium where they can put high school sports and they can have concerts and do all these sort of things. But you put out a press release where you insinuate that this problem was dumped on you. Sometimes I just wonder why anybody would want to do business with our city. That's all. But Henry, thank you for writing it.
No, and Henry, I love our city. I say it all the time. I was walking around today and I looked at our skyline. And I'm like, you know what? I like Rochester. Rochester's a cool city. I love our city. But sometimes I hate my city. And most of the time it's because of the people that have been put in charge and the decisions that they make. And I'll give the Dworkins credit one more time. I mean, Gene, we did everything we could to get them to say how challenging it is to do work with the city of Rochester.
How has it been working with the city of Rochester?
I'm sorry, say that again?
How has it been working with the city?
The city is my landlord, that's correct.
That's a very, very polite David Dworkin yesterday in the sports bar.
That's David Dworkin biting his tongue.
Very polite, David Dworkin. The city is my landlord, that is correct.
If the city was really trying to find a solution with the Dworkins, would they have made the Dworkins wait like the rest of us to hear their statement? No, because if they're waiting like the Dworkins to hear the statement, I think this is heading for a sit down. I don't want to say showdown, but I would have to think that there's conversations right now in the city. Can they get out of this lease agreement if there isn't a soccer team playing full time there? So now we're talking legalese here. So again, that blows my mind. That we don't have a soccer team this year, and we don't have a city that seems to care about that. So,
hey, it's a small world that we live in, Gino. Here in the sports bar with Danger Battaglia, the guy who just wrote in that letter, Henry in Irondequoit, is joining us now. Hey, Henry, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Not bad.
You guys are very hypocritical. I mean, you.
No, Henry, you don't have to repeat what you wrote. We just read your letter on the air.
Okay.
So do you want to respond to that by us saying, show us some data at that stadium? You're going to, by danger, telling an anecdote one day of seeing a woman doing something you wouldn't want to see. That makes us hypocrites? Is that what you're saying?
And my safety wasn't threatened by her dropping trowel and leaving a deuce on the sidewalk. My question is, where's your dignity at that point? You know, like, what can we not?
Well, by the way, Henry, Irondequoit, I had a friend of mine got abducted in Irondequoit. You have problems in your town too.
Okay, fine. Well, listen to this. You guys are totally hypocritical.
Henry, you're doing great so far. I'm listening.
Go.
I mean, you went on and on and on for like 40 minutes about
Henry,
the city is.
Get to a point, please, we have other callers.
You guys contributed to the problem.
How?
You told everybody the city was not worth living in. Who said that?
Who said that? Who has ever said that the city isn't worth living in? I've never said that. Gene, have you ever? I just said how much I love this city.
No, I lived in the city. Right. When I was
Henry, there. I'm waiting for you to say something that you know, to call us hypocritical, I don't take lightly. But you're not giving me anything that suggests that I am a hypocrite in any
We're
way.
We're giving you
all
that
I'm
time,
asking yeah. for. All I'm asking for. In terms of the argument to not go to Capelli Sports Stadium, it is a dangerous part of town. We don't like going there. It's not safe. My argument to that is show me data that proves it is not safe to go to a Rhinos game. I don't think it exists. I haven't seen it.
There's no data, but...
Then end of discussion. End of discussion. Then everybody should feel safe going to a Rhinos game.
Well, there's people on the radio like you telling people not to come downtown because there's people shitting and pissing in the street.
That's why there's a problem.
All right,
Henry's gone.
Henry, you're banned from the show, okay? You can't swear on the radio. We gave you enough rope to hang yourself.
Henry, you can say he's banned. I'm not going to ban him from the show. If you want to call the show, call the show. But understand the rules. We will drop you, and you will get dumped if you swear. One and two. If you're going to call me a hypocrite, then come with something that I can give me something tangible that shows that I am a hypocrite. I'm asking for something simple. Give me data that supports your fear, your feeling. I don't feel safe. Okay. You don't feel safe. Let's talk about statistics. Let's talk about reality. You don't feel safe because your eyes are tricking your brain into believing that what you're seeing aesthetically isn't pleasing, and I don't feel safe. Nothing happens when you go to a Rhinos game. Nothing happens when you go for a run downtown. Go for a run downtown. Run through the neighborhoods. What's going to happen? I'm not running. Gene, I heard something so discouraging. And MCC opened up a downtown campus a block and a half from here. I got the chance to tour it when it first opened up. And I got to tell you, it's impressive. It's beautiful. It's state of the art. It's clean. It's new. It's everything that you would want to send your child to if you were going to send them to MCC. But I've heard people refer to it as MCC Ghetto Campus.
Oh, no.
Stop! That is the problem. That is the root of what I am talking about. That is the issue. You're going to label it as the Ghetto Campus when you probably haven't even set foot inside that building. Why? Because it's not in the suburbs? Because you're not comfortable with it? Because you're not used to seeing it? You don't feel safe? Divorce yourself from the emotion and look at the statistics. And to label that the ghetto campus, you're ignorant.
Are we a town of racists, Dan?
You're ignorant.
Are we a town of racists?
I'm not going that far, but I'll say the person who says that, while they may or may not be racist, they are ignorant. The ghetto campus. And it's the same people, I think, that think that way, that think, I can't go to Capelli Sports Stadium. It's in the ghetto. Okay. All right. Well, there go the Rhinos. Satisfied?
Yeah. And the city's just sitting on the sidelines here. Well, if you think we're hypocritical, give us a call. 454-ESPN, 454-3776 is, yeah, we'll put you through if you disagree with us. We want to take all points, but you're going to get bounced. The bouncer's going to come in if you swear. Okay, that's true of any radio show. We have to abide by FCC laws. You know the dirty words. You're not allowed to say them, Henry.
John's been waiting patiently on hold. John and Hilton, he doesn't want to talk about soccer. He wants to talk about Jimbo Fisher, the Grinch who threw his Christmas tree out on December 1st. John, how are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. First, let me go off on a limb and say that if the SWAT team's hanging out at that stadium, I'm going to feel pretty safe there.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Heavily armed.
And far as Jimbo Fisher's go, I'm a Florida State fan also. I'm pretty disappointed to hear that he left today, although I kind of saw it coming. But I think he's kind of making a mistake going from the ACC, where he's only really got Miami and Clemson to compete with, and going to the SEC, where, you know, you got to deal with Nick Saban and the other and all those other tough teams. I think he definitely not making a mistake, obviously, financially, but as far as, you know, getting to the title games and all that, I think he might be making a...
I saw this too, John. I didn't quite get it because, okay, Florida State, your season didn't go the way. You had an injury to your quarterback opening week, and that put you behind the eight ball. But it seems just like the cash grab. I can't fault him for that, but for some reason, the SEC... The holy SEC is held up high regard. I mean, to me, Florida State's a better program than Texas A&M, period. So other than money, I don't know the reason why to do that. Or you just really want to coach in the SEC. John, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
All right, let's take one more before we get Fairburn in here. Fairburn Friday, our buddy Matthew Fairburn from the Syracuse Post-Standard. Going to talk some Bills and Patriots next in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. First, Tim in Rochester, you're in the Sports Bar. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, sir?
What's up, Tim?
Hey, I just want to let you know that I live in the city, and I've been to a Rhinos game, and I've you know, walked around the city, and I think it's great down here. I mean, I do think you're right. There's a bias where people are afraid to come downtown, and they're missing out on the Renaissance. They're missing out on Midtown. They're missing out on a lot of the great stuff that goes on down here because they have that fear of going downtown.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and it's costing us our sports teams.
Right.
You know,
if you want to talk about statistics, you can talk about how millennials are moving back into urban areas, and they're bringing up the value of these urban areas. So there is a renaissance occurring, and I really do feel like it's, and I kind of hate to say it, but it's those, you know, kind of old suburban folks that are really trying to ruin it. And, you know, we can't move in fast enough. I'm a 30-year-old that owns two houses in the city, but we can't move in fast enough to kind of curb these franchises and try and save them before they're moving out, which is too bad, really.
Yeah, Tim, I appreciate the call, and I'm in agreement with you. And, you know, look, full disclosure, live in the suburbs. Why do I live in the suburbs? Because I know what the school situation is in the city, and I know I have kids, and I want my what's best for my children. If that makes me a hypocrite for putting my family before everything else, call me a hypocrite all day.
Yeah.
Okay? But the narrative of the stadium's in the ghetto, I won't go. I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. I'm not listening to it. I'm not hearing it. The problem isn't the stadium, if that's what you're saying. The problem is you. Look in the mirror and recognize that the statistical probability of something happening to you going to a soccer game at that stadium is next to nothing. And I haven't seen any data to support that it isn't safe at Capelli Sports Stadium. So stop.
Yeah, or if we're wrong, hey, 454.
Show us.
ESPN is our phone number, or you can write to us, as Henry did, or you can write and call to us, as Henry did.
Let's get Fairburn on next. Matthew Fairburn of the Syracuse Post-Standard. We'll talk some Bills and Patriots and the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia back with more next on ESPN Rochester.
Buffalo Bills football.
1, 2, 3. Number one starts with playing hard, smart, discipline, and tough football.
Just do it, okay?
Hear every play of the 2017 regular season. This Sunday, the Bills return home to take on the Patriots. Coverage starts at 9, kickoff at 1, with John Murphy and Mark Kelso. Brought to you by Northwest. Make the switch to Northwest and get back to living. And by Celino and Barnes. Injured? Don't wait. Call or text 8.
Epic victories, heartbreaking defeats. No matter your team, no matter your game, we talk sports on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Fairburn Friday. Welcome back. It's the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester, where we welcome in our friend from the Syracuse Post-Standard, Matthew Fairburn. How are you, bud?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing well, Matthew. So we're trying to figure out scenarios in which the Buffalo Bills may win this game on Sunday. Matthew, can you help us out in that regard?
That sounds like a pretty short conversation. Not exactly a glowing radio topic. I don't know how many scenarios there are, quite frankly. I mean, over the years, it's been You know, if Tom Brady is resting or if Tom Brady is suspended, the Bills have a chance. But other than that, you know, he's kind of torn them up. But if they're going to win this game, that's obviously where it starts. And Sean McDermott has done it before, you know, confusing Tom Brady and forcing him into some mistakes. But he had the Carolina Panthers defense the last time these two teams, or he met Tom Brady back in 2013. Now he has a significantly less talented group, and I think it's going to be a lot harder, quite frankly, for them to do some of the things the Panthers were able to do, because I don't know if they can get pressure with the front four. But that's where it starts, and then, you know, they got to be able to run the football and you know, keep the ball away from Tom Brady as much as they possibly can. But quite frankly, they're up against it. They're, you know, this is a much more talented team than they saw last week in Kansas City. It's a much more talented team than they are, quite frankly. So you never know what could happen, especially with the Bills playing at home. But the Patriots are a 9-point road favorite for a reason.
Matthew, you know, when I try to look at matchups and matchups that could potentially be exploited, I look at New England's linebackers and I think, all right, well, what does that mean? Does that mean you get McCoy out in space, out in the flat? Do you, you know, use Charles Claymore? Is there anything there? Is there anything that they can do to exploit, you know, what looks to be the weakness on the defensive side of the ball for the Pats in their linebacking core?
Yeah, the Patriots are a little bit banged up in the front seven. They've been going through a lot of bodies at those positions. So that's why I feel like they should be able to establish the running game, but you know, the Bills' offensive line hasn't, you know, been a consistent unit this season, and you know, that's part of the key to getting LeSean McCoy going is getting some blocking up front. So I think that could be, you know, a bit of a challenge for the Bills the way they've been blocking, but that's the one area you look at, because the Patriots' secondary has actually been playing pretty well, and their defense as a whole since week five has been one of the best in the league. So I think, you know, they've shored up some of their problems, but they're not without flaw. And I wouldn't expect, you know, the Bills to get into a shootout here. I don't know that they have a chance in a game like that. You know, the games they win, they grind it out, it gets ugly, and they, you know, win them at the end. So I think that's the formula this weekend. You don't try to change what you do because the Patriots are in town. I think, you know, like you mentioned, maybe the linebackers are a little bit of a weakness. Maybe that means you can get the short passing game going, you can get the running game going, and try to control the clock and stay on schedule, because if you get too many three and outs against this group, Tom Brady's going to find a way to make you pay.
Matthew Farber and Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest here in the Sports Bar. On the other side of the football, I mean, what we saw in the Saints game, the Buffalo Bills defense, that was alarming. It was historically bad and wasn't very much better in the Charger game, but that got overshadowed, obviously, by the quarterback decision. But then all of a sudden, we saw the defense kind of return to form against Kansas City. And I know Kansas City's kind of been struggling in recent weeks, but exactly what changed in the last week for this Buffalo Bills defense, Matthew? How were they able to you know, return to form for the 1 week?
Yeah, obviously it started with the Kansas City Chiefs playing like garbage up front. I mean, the offensive line was terrible. And, you know, the Bills were able to win that matchup pretty much all day long. But they were also doing a few things different with their linebacker group. They were playing more downhill, and they were disguising a lot of coverages on the back end, you know, with their safeties and corners. And there were times where Alex Smith dropped back and didn't really know what he was looking at. And that's where, you know, they were able to get some pressure and force him into some, you know, poor decisions and, you know, inaccurate passes and really make him look silly for a lot of the afternoon. You know, that was a combination of the coverage and the linebackers and run defense were, you know, playing a lot more downhill, not second guessing themselves, not going side to side. And at the same time too, I think, you know, playing Lorenzo Alexander in a more limited role, but playing him in a role that suits him as a pass rushing linebacker, as a guy who can, you know, just worry about going straight ahead as opposed to worrying about being in coverage and moving laterally. I think that helped as well, having Matt Milano on the field to, you know, shore up things in the linebacking group and let Alexander do what he's comfortable with. It was a much better game plan than we've seen in recent weeks, but also far, far better execution in terms of tackling and playing a little bit more aggressive as a front seven.
Matthew, it's not uncommon for Bill Belichick to heap praise on his opponent any given week. He was especially kind this week to Tyrod Taylor, to Mike Hyde, to Lorenzo Elliott. I mean, if you listen to Coach Belichick, he's going to get up against the best team in the NFL this weekend. What is he seeing, and what are you hearing from Coach Belichick in advance of Sunday's game?
Yeah, he says a lot, but doesn't say much at the same time. Yeah. He'll ask him a question, and then he'll... I asked him this week, I was curious if he would give me an answer, but on the conference call, you know, what he remembers about being a rookie head coach and some of the challenges that come with building a culture like Sean McDermott's having to do here. And he started off kind of saying, you know, that was a long time ago, and, you know, a lot has changed in the world and a lot has changed in football. And then all of a sudden he just starts like going on and on about, he goes, you know, Sean's got a really good group, and, you know, they're really strong at quarterback. They're really strong at running back. They're really strong at the lines. They're really strong. He started going through the whole entire roster. I'm like, well, that got out of hand quickly. And all of a sudden I transcribed it, and it was like a five-paragraph soliloquy on, you know, how good this Bills team is.
He filibustered you. He didn't answer your question.
Yeah, he did, which I expected going in, but... you know, it's just crazy. Every question you ask, somehow he finds his way back to, you know, mentioning every single player on the Bills roster, from Brandon Tate to Ramon Humber. I mean, he just finds a compliment for everybody. And he said, this is what he said where I just did not believe him, was when he said, as a coach, you look at, you know, this team on tape and you don't make a lot of notes about areas you can exploit. And I wanted to be like, really? Like, did you flip on the Saints tape and think, nope, nothing we can do here? I mean, not going to be able to move the ball against these guys. Might as well pack it in. I mean, that is exactly what coaches do every week, is look for places you can take advantage. And if you can't find anywhere to take advantage of this Bills team, I think you need to look a little bit harder. But, you know, he is who he is. He's always going to, you know, offer a lot of praise, and you're really never going to catch him slipping up.
Matthew Fairburn, Syracuse Post-Standard. I mean, there is one thing, and he talked about Tyrod, how he throws a nice deep ball, and it got us thinking here, well, geez, what happened to that part of the game here, Matthew? You know, is this, you know, is that something the Bills can go back to, because Tyrod does throw a nice deep ball, or is it just in the simple fact that, yeah, okay, maybe Thompson can be your deep threat, and, you know, who else can really stretch the field? Maybe the Bills are lacking in that department.
Yeah, that's a twofold problem. I think it starts with the design of the offense and the deep ball not being as big a part of the offense as it was in years past under Greg Roman and Anthony Lynn. But then, to your point, they also don't have too many players that can stretch the field and get open deep. Deontay Thompson is probably the one, and he's made some big plays. Other than that, you're looking at like Charles Clay as your best vertical threat. And, you know, it's a different type of vertical threat than they're used to having. Tyrod Taylor is really good at throwing the deep ball, and he also had two really good deep ball receivers to throw to last year in Sammy Watkins and Marquise Goodwin, two of the better deep ball receivers in the league. And so, you know, when you take away those guys, all of a sudden, it's not to say that they were making Tyrod look better than he was. It's just that Tyrod doesn't have anybody he's confident enough to throw that pass to. I mean, Jordan Matthews isn't getting separation on anybody deep unless you or I are playing cornerback for the other team. And Zay Jones has some of that in him, but it's really not his game. And he's gotten, you know, open on a few deep passes, but, you know, it's definitely not the strength of what he does and how he gets open. And so you're relying on Deontay Thompson, who just got here a few months ago. Kelvin Benjamin would have been a nice option, but obviously he's injured right now. So it's a few different things causing a problem that really makes the Bills offense, especially in the passing game, somewhat easy to plan for, because there's not a ton that they can do to hurt you down the field.
Matthew Fairburn of the Syracuse Post-Standard joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Matthew, I want to take you back to the beginning of the week when Sean McDermott had his press conference and the Shaq Lawson issue was brought up. Well, why didn't Shaq Lawson start? It didn't really affect his playing time, but it certainly appeared after hearing his comments that there was some kind of friction between the two. What do you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've kind of been sniffing around on that this week and haven't pin down exactly what happened there. Shaq Lawson and Sean McDermott both aren't saying much about it publicly, but it's interesting, isn't it? Because these guys have wasted no time getting rid of players who don't fit either on the field or off. And obviously Shaq Lawson did something where Sean McDermott wanted to make a point. But to your point, it was very minor, obviously, because it didn't really affect his playing time. So you know, I don't know for sure what he did and would just be speculating, but, you know, there's any number of team rules that he could have broken that, that would have, there's some that would result in a much worse punishment. So, I can't imagine it was anything too serious, but it's absolutely something to monitor because these guys have wasted zero time cutting ties with guys who don't fit what they're doing going forward. And Shaq Lawson isn't playing particularly well. He looks like perhaps he's put on a little bit of weight from where he was in the summer. And he's not giving them much in terms of pass rush productivity right now. So I'm not saying, you know, that they would get rid of him in the off season, but you never know if a team comes calling. He is a young, rising, you would think, talent on at defensive end, a position that most teams put a premium on, so you never know. And I think they could do better. You know, they could find somebody better than Shaq Lawson to get off the end. And if he's not fitting in off the field, then, you know, maybe that's something they would explore. But it's definitely something to watch as the rest of the season unfolds.
Matthew Fairburn, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest. Matthew, not a new story, but this was given new life this week when Rex Ryan went on Wingo and Golic and said, well, hey, I got fired because I wanted to play Tyrod Taylor, and that was the reason that was given to me. I was fired. Okay, we knew that story, and we knew Terry Pegula was not in favor of that. But since we didn't get a chance to talk to you last week, I'm just curious, and I'm allowed to wonder. Bills fans are allowed to wonder. Sean McDermott said, no, this was, you know, my decision alone in terms of, you know, starting Nate Peterman. Are you wondering that at all, Matthew, or are we allowed to wonder that?
You're allowed, but I don't know that I would expect that, to be honest. I think Terry Pegula has sort of learned that I think what he wants more than anything is to be able to back off and let these guys do their thing. I don't think he wants to be the type of guy who's going to, you know, force a coach's hand with a decision like that. I would be really, really surprised if he were the one who, you know, forced that type of move, because last year it made some sense. I think it probably came more from Whaley, but also a little bit from Terry, you know, as a team, because they were, you know, pretty close toward the end of last year, Whaley and Pegula. And, you know, they probably clued him into the idea that if Tyrod Taylor were to get hurt, he could, you know, trigger an injury clause and they would be forced to keep him. And I think Whaley was leaning towards getting rid of him. And Rex acts as if that was the reason he got fired, but he knows he was getting fired anyways. And so he kind of just told Terry that, hey, if you're going to fire me after the season, then don't send me out there without my quarterback, you know, just fire me now. And, you know, Anthony Lynn even made reference to that last week saying, you know, it would have been great to have gone out there with my quarterback. So yeah, it was interesting that story took on the life that it did this week, because like you mentioned, that's been out there probably since very shortly after Rex got fired. But you know, as long as Rex Ryan is on ESPN, he's going to continue to be sort of a thorn in Bills fans' side, because he's going to keep bringing stuff up. He's going to keep talking, and it will just, you know, refresh the news cycle a little bit, and he'll keep inserting his name into things. But as long as Sean McDermott wins and turns things around, I think people will continue to put Rex Ryan out of their mind.
Matthew, you know, to bring it back around full circle to how we started our conversation this afternoon, a pathway to a Buffalo Bills victory. And we've talked to a couple of people that actually, you know what, watched a little bit of football last night. And I saw what happened with Washington, and I saw what, you know, special teams. You had one fumble on a punt that cost Washington points, and then you had a return for Dallas that of course, you know, kind of helped strengthen their lead. Is that really the only thing that the Bills have going in their favor going into Sunday? A tipped ball here, a turnover here, maybe a big special teams play here that can put the game in their favor?
Yeah, I think turnovers are pretty big, and that's how the Bills have stolen some wins in the past. I mean, if you're looking for a path to victory, I think you look at, you know, what they did in Atlanta, and they were able to pass the ball pretty effectively against Atlanta, and they ran the ball pretty well, and then they got a few really key turnovers that, you know, helped them flip the field and even score some points. And I think if they have any shot of beating the Patriots, they need something like that to happen. They need a few big plays to break their way, and maybe they'll have a shot. Obviously, it didn't hurt in Atlanta that Julio Jones went out with an injury, and so did Mohamed Sanu. You know, I guess that's also a path to victory if you're the type of person that likes to root for injuries. But you know, those big plays have been such an identity of this Bills team, and it's part of why, you know, they've been a little bit inconsistent, is because you can't necessarily rely on a ball bouncing your way or on the other team making a mistake, especially when the other team has Tom Brady as its quarterback, considering he hardly ever throws interceptions, and also Bill Belichick as the head coach. You know, they're going to be pretty sound in terms of not making mental errors, but that's, you know, what you have to do in this league sometimes to get wins, especially when you're not as talented as the other team, is, you know, find a way to get that turnover. And hey, the other thing too is, if they do get that turnover, don't waste it. I mean, how many times this year have we seen them take a turnover and turn it into a field goal?
Right.
Turnovers have to be touchdowns, and you know, three and outs have to be points for the offense, and you know, they haven't done that nearly often enough this season. And you can't squander any opportunity against a team like the Patriots, because as long as they hang around within a score or two, they have a shot in the fourth quarter. And we've seen them, you know, what they can do late in games to, you know, that, I mean, really, as long as they're within, what, you know, 25 points, yeah, they've got a shot, as they showed, you know, at the end of last season. So you can never really count them out, but the more of those big plays you get, the better off you're going to be.
Matthew, I look at the schedules for the Bills and the Ravens have the upper hand right now, obviously. Seems like an easier schedule for Baltimore. This week they get Detroit, but then Pittsburgh after that. Is this going to come down to we're going to be doing some scoreboard watching of Bengals, Baltimore, Week 17 while you're down at South Beach covering the Bills?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a scoreboard watching month. I mean, this is an annual tradition in Buffalo around this time of year, is watching the scoreboard and seeing how long the Bills can stay in the hunt. It's going to be especially crowded this year for that sixth wild card spot. You're going to be scoreboard watching the Ravens, the Titans, probably some combination of the Chargers and Chiefs. It might be one of those teams that gets in. It could be two. The Bengals could be in the mix if they keep winning. So, you know, the Jaguars could fall out of it. There's a lot that could go on, and that's also assuming that the Bills manage to get to 9 wins, which they need to win all of their non-Patriots games to do, 2 against the Dolphins, 1 against the Colts. And, you know, not necessarily the easiest thing to do. Obviously, if they were to get a win one of these games against the Patriots, they would have a shot at 10 wins, and that would eliminate some of that scoreboard watching. But I think most people expect them to lose those two games, which means, you know, you got to win the other 3 to get to 9, and then you're going to need a lot of help, including from some AFC North foes.
He's Matthew Fairburn of the Syracuse Post-Standard, joining us as he does on Fridays to give us a little Buffalo Bills talk, Bills Patriots on Sunday, and you can hear all the action starting at 9 here on ESPN Rochester. Matthew, as always, we appreciate your time and hope you have a great weekend, all right?
Absolutely. You guys, too. I'll talk to you soon.
It sounds good. Matthew Fairburn, read his work, Syracuse.com. A lot of stories from the NFL we've got to get to, and we will continue to take your calls on the Rhino situation. 454 ESPN.
All right, NFL appetizers next. We go around the NFL, serve up today's top stories in bite-sized form in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Hey, if you need some extra cash for the holidays, who doesn't need extra money right now? Well, Leone's Collectibles is buying your new and used toys, comics, action figures. They're buying vintage magazines, movie collectibles, vinyl records, autographs, sports cards, memorabilia, and more. Leone's Collectibles is on Stone Road in Greece, or you can just reach out online. You know, they'll get back to you right away. You know, what's the value of this? Well, they'll tell you. Online at mr-magazine.com. Of course, Leone's is the place to buy that special holiday gift with over 500,000 collectibles in stock. But if you need extra cash, sell your collectibles to Leone, 612 Stone Road in Greece, right next to Jackson's Bakery. For a quote, contact them online at mr-magazine.com. Leone's Collectibles.
All right, here we go, fellas.
The latest news from around the National Football League.
Huddle up. Let's have a little fun today.
Huddle up. What the hell's going on out here?
Served up in bite-sized form.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
Danger and Battaglia are serving up NFL appetizers.
We're not posing for football cards now, offense. We're not posing for football cards. Let's play with some speed.
Now in the sports bar.
Come on, be a man's man now. Here we go.
Updating Bills injuries in advance of Sunday's matchup against the Patriots. Now, even though he was added to the injury report with a knee issue midweek and he didn't practice today, don't worry. LeSean McCoy is expected to start on Sunday. No surprise hearing Kelvin Benjamin will miss his second straight game with that torn meniscus in his knee. I'll tackle Cordy Glenn, running back Mike Tolbert, and guard John Miller, also inactive because of injuries.
Carolina is losing one of their better pass rushers and run stuffers for the season stretch run. The league announced that defensive end Charles Johnson was suspended 4 games for violating the policy on performance-enhancing substances. The suspension begins immediately, so Johnson will be eligible to return for Week 17. In a statement released by the team, Johnson took full responsibility for his actions. The 31-year-old Johnson has 67.5 sacks in his 11 seasons with the team, and has been a solid player against the run throughout his entire career.
Now try to imagine last night's game with the Redskins wearing yellow on yellow. Well, that was Nike's color rush design for the team that they decided not to wear the uniforms, opting for burgundy jerseys and burgundy pants. Well, the Skins aren't alone. Both the Dolphins and Eagles opted out of their color rush theme unis earlier this year. The NFL today admitted, well, they've relaxed the team rules on color rush uniforms, giving teams the option to opt out as long as they wear color on color. So if you've been an opponent of the color rush campaign, or if you're colorblind, then the news is good. If you're a fan, don't worry. The NFL will still sell you your color rush merchandise.
Is the NFL's financial commitment to social injustice programs coming at the expense of other initiatives like cancer research or Salute to Service? 49ers safety Eric Reed, who broke with the Players Coalition organized by Malcolm Jenkins and Anquan Boldin over the deal, said this week that the money would be taken from the league's Salute to Service and Breast Cancer initiatives. Well, in a memo to all 32 teams today, the league outlines where the money comes from and states, quote, "This new program will supplement and not replace our other key social responsibility efforts, including Salute to Service, cancer awareness, domestic violence, sexual assault, and youth programs. The initiative still needs approval from all owners, something that we won't know about until the league meetings happen in March." And NFL appetizers today brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care. They've been keeping cars newer longer since 1926. Firestone Complete Auto Care. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
You know, for the Thursday night uniforms, the NFL, for some reason, they've turned this into a concussion issue that you can't have two helmets. How is that? Can somebody explain that to me? Because what I would tune in for, give me the circa 1990 Buffalo Bills uniforms. Every team has their favorite throwback. If you're a Buccaneer fan, what about Buccaneer Bruce or whatever that guy's name is called? In other words, ditch the color rush. What happened to Throwback Thursday? How about Throwback Thursday? There you go, Danger. There's my idea for
I think
next
they're
year.
Already selling their throwback jerseys, right? I mean, like those jerseys, for the most part, they're still like, I'm trying to think. Did Green Bay do their throwbacks this year yet? No, they didn't yet.
No, well, they do it, but that's
That's like way, way back. I mean, that's before our time
right.
back. I'm talking about, okay, Tampa Bay or the Rams in the
Here's
yellow
the
and blue.
You're making the mistake of trying to associate this as something more than what it is. What it is it's a money grab. It, you know, like the only reason why throwbacks existed or the Color Rush uniforms exist is so that you, the fan, will get excited and go out and buy that jersey. You know, it shouldn't affect the play on the field. It shouldn't, you know, but, you know, I can understand. I can understand if a player, you know, for the Redskins looked at their Color Rush design and said, really? Yellow on yellow?
It's terrible.
Nah, we're good.
Well, I mean, the red on red for Buffalo? And that's what they're wearing next week against the Colts. Ugh. They're probably going to sell a lot of jerseys. That's not to me and you, Danger, but they're doing it for a reason.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, and oh, maybe it looks good on TV, but it doesn't look good to me. Like, you know, like, I guess you would hope that if you saw it on TV, like, oh, that looks cool. Let me go get it. But a yellow Washington Redskins jersey, if you're a Redskins fan, I mean, maybe that's appealing to you, but.
You know, there are very few uniforms I would say would look cool as a throwback. San Diego's throwback is pretty cool. Excuse me.
That's
LA's.
Right. Everybody's just playing second place behind the powder blue unis of the Chargers. That's it. No, you're just not going to be better than that.
You know what my favorite throwback is? The Rochester American Stars and Stripes. Last time they won the Calder Cup, 96, they went back full time to that. Come on, Amherst. Go back. Break that one out. And I mean, I might buy that. Tonight, the Amherst taking on the Hartford Wolfpack. And as always, Rochester Americans Hockey, proudly brought to you by Wilbert's You Pull It. If you're having trouble selling your car online, and if you're wondering, hey, is my truck, car not going to pass inspection? Don't worry about it. Here's what you do. You sell it to Wilbert's. Call Wilbert's You Pull It at 315-589-2222. Visit them online at WUPI.com or stop into their store. That's at 4936 State Route 104 in Williamson. Get cash for your car, truck, van, or SUV today at Wilbert's.
All right, happy hour is upon us. We serve up our daily special next and another round of shots all coming up before 6 o'clock in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester app is the easiest way to connect with Rochester's most listened to sports station. Get the latest news and scores from the Bills, Sabres, Amherst, and all of your favorite teams. Stream ESPN Rochester live anywhere you go. Listen to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on demand and on your device. Download it now in the Apple App Store or Google Play. The ESPN Rochester app from Rochester sports leader, AM 950 and 95.7 FM. ESPN Rochester.